Worship team, thank you for leading us to worship today. We appreciate that. Just a couple of things before we get into the message. We have an opportunity, if you want to be involved in a child's life or teenager's life and really bless them in a very impactful way. We got summer camps coming up for our kids and for our teenagers, and we ship them off to Salmon Falls campground. All the parents say, hallelujah. My kids are gone for a week. But it's more than just fun and games. They have fun. There's games, but it's a really powerful time. I remember my parents shipped me off every summer, and I met the Lord there. I had real encounters with Jesus as a child that impacted me. I never got away from it. There was times I got away from the Lord, but I never got away from that impact. I think the cost is $125 for the kids, $150 for the junior high, $150 for the teens. And I can't remember how many kids, Carice said, there were six or eight that wanted to go but really didn't have the finances. If you want to help sponsor a child and you have the finances to do that, I know the kids would love that. It'd be a real blessing to them. You can just fill out an envelope, stick it in the giving station back there, just write kids camp or teen camp, and however much, you don't have to come up with a whole amount. Maybe you got $20 you want to put toward that. Or maybe you can sponsor two or three kids because God's blessed you. Either way, you pray about that and see what God will lead you to do. The other thing I wanted to mention is that we're going to have 8 weeks of worship and prayer on Wednesday nights here. Starting July 10th, I think, through the August 28th. And it's just an informal time of meeting with the Lord. And we've got a commitment from our worship team. They're going to be here leading us to worship every Wednesday night. We're going to spend some time in prayer. You know, listen, we could just coast through the summer and recreate all summer long. But I just feel like the Lord is calling us as a church to come together and to pray. How many know there's some serious things happening in our nation, in our city, maybe even in your neighborhood or your family? And the only thing that's going to turn that around is prayer. Amen. Wishful thinking is not going to do anything. Complaining to your friends or neighbors about the state of the union is not going to do anything. The only thing that's going to make a difference is prayer. And so we're going to spend some time seeking the Lord in worship, and then we're going to get into prayer and maybe back to worship and back to prayer and just believe God is going to use us. Listen, we have a Saturday night prayer meeting, but there's usually about a half a dozen folks that show up. Listen, a half a dozen folks cannot carry the weight of what this church needs to do spiritually in terms of praying for our city and praying for our nation and praying for the lost. And so, you know, I've thought maybe it's the night. Maybe Saturday night, not a great night. So we're opening up Wednesday night and giving you an opportunity. And we're just calling everybody to a commitment to come out as many times as you can. I know you're going to get, I told you this a couple weeks ago, you're going to get home from work and say, I'm too tired. I got stressed out today. I just got to stay home and chill. I'm telling you, what's going on is spiritual warfare. And those are the times you need to press through and get here and pray with us and believe God to do some great things. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to finish up a series that I've been in for 6 weeks. This is the 6 weeks. It's called God's Plan for Healing and Health. And we've been talking about seven different ways that you can receive healing for your body and for your mind and for your soul. Seven different ways, and I love that because to me it speaks that God loves you so much that he didn't just give you one way to get healed. He's given you seven different ways, and if you can't get healed one way, there's six other ways that you can go to receive God's healing, God's health in your mind and in your physical body. And let me just review real quick the first six ways. I'm not going to spend any time on these, just touch on them. But the first way is personal prayer. Psalms 30, verse 2, David prayed, O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. How many are you thankful that God hears your personal prayers? When you pray, God answers. You don't have to go to the priest. You don't have to go to the pastor. you can pray and get some healing. You can go to the pastor. That's actually one of the ways that God's given us, but you yourself can pray and touch heaven and move the heart of God. The second way is praying with others. Jesus taught us in Matthew 18 that if even two of you agree on anything that you pray about, your Heavenly Father hears in heaven, and he's quick to answer. You know, I loved it when we heard the report this week of Zoe being in that car accident. There was several men that gathered in the prayer room upstairs and began to pray. And the only report that we heard was that Zoe and his cousin had been in a serious car accident. There was broken bones, there was a head injury, and there was bleeding on the brain. Now, that didn't sound really good, does it? I mean, that sounds serious. And we had no idea if he was on death's door or what. And so some guys began to pray. They got together and spent a good part of the afternoon just on their knees and crying out to God and coming into agreement. While those men were praying, one of them got a report from Zoe's girlfriend who had went down to Arizona where he was and was in the hospital, texted and said, Zoe's okay. He's conscious. He's communicating. He's going to be all right. Right in the middle of that prayer. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Well, I mean, we know God answers prayer, but it's pretty cool when he answers right when you're praying. I mean, you don't even have time to finish praying and the answer comes. Hallelujah. And that was pretty much the end of that prayer meeting. He's well, it's okay, let's go home. Hallelujah. And the third way that we can receive healing is prayer from church leaders. Scripture says in James, if anyone is sick, let him call the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. Listen, the oil doesn't heal you. The Holy Spirit heals you. The oil is just a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's an act of faith that we do, but we believe the Holy Spirit to come. The fourth way is by laying on of hands. This is one of Jesus' favorite ways to heal. In Luke 4, verse 40, Scripture said, at sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one of them, he healed them. There was a multitude of them. I don't know how long that took. That was probably hours that he just laid his hands on each one of those sick people and ministered the healing power, and they went home well. And then the Scripture, in Mark 16, Jesus, he said, I'm leaving, I'm going back to heaven, but I'm going to release and commission you to carry on this ministry of healing. And he said in Mark 16, go into the world, preach the gospel. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And he said, these signs shall accompany those who believe. He lists a list of signs that will follow. And then he finishes up with this sign. He said, they will place their hands on the sick people and they will get well. This is where every believer can get involved in the ministry of healing. You don't have to leave it to the pastors. You don't have to leave it to the spiritual giants of the church. Every single believer. How many believers we got here today? Raise your hand. I just want to see. That's like 90% of us. The rest of you, we got an altar call at the end of the service to get you saved. Hallelujah. The fifth way that we can receive healing is through gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Two of those gifts are the gifts of healing and the gift of miracles. How many believe the Holy Spirit is still distributing his gifts in his church today? The gifts of the Spirit are supernatural empowerment by the Holy Spirit distributed to people as the Holy Spirit wills in order to reach and meet the needs of mankind. To me, it's like power tools. You can screw a screw in the wall with a manual screwdriver. It's a whole lot better if you get an 18-volt, you know, drill. And the gifts of the Spirit are like power tools to get the job of the kingdom done. And then number six is obeying God's voice. There's times that God will give us directions that we need to follow in order for us to receive our healing. Jesus told 10 lepers, go show yourself to the priest. As they did, they were healed. Jesus put mud on one blind man's eyes. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. When he did, he was healed. The instructions came to Naaman, the leper. go and dip seven times in the Jordan River. When he did, he was healed. So there are times that it's not going to work just to have somebody lay hands on you. God has some specific things that he wants you to do. And when you follow up on those, when you're quick to obey, the healing will come. All right, we're in new territory today. Here's number seven. And I'm going to finish my series on healing today. Number seven is taking God's word as medicine. This is one of the ways you can get healed, folks. Is taking God's word as medicine. Maybe you're sitting out there, you don't have any infirmities, and you're thinking, well, I don't really need this message. You're thinking about checking out, and your mind's going to think about what you're going to do this afternoon. But, you know, just hold on. Maybe next week you might need this message. Maybe 6 months from now, maybe a year from now, you might need this message. So it might be worth paying some attention, take some notes. So number seven, taking God's word as medicine. God's words are so powerful that they have the ability to bring healing to your physical body and to your broken soul. Whatever the need is that you have, God's word can heal. Psalms 107 verse 20 says that he sent his word out and healed them. He sent his word and healed. What healed them? The word of God. He sent his word and the word healed them. There's so much power in the word of God. I want to share a testimony about a man that many of you probably know or knew. His name was Derek Prince. He passed away about 20 years ago. But he was a wonderful Bible teacher and author. But as a young man in his 20s, he spent 5.5 years in the British military, and he was stationed for the most part in the deserts of North Africa. This was during World War II. And he said the two main components of his stay there was hot sun and sand. He said they lived in the sand, they walked in the sand, they slept in the sand. He said there was so much sand, sometimes it felt like we were eating sand. It was just sun and sand. And he had a kind of a sensitive skin, and after a time, he developed a case of chronic eczema in his feet. And he literally became incapacitated. He couldn't walk. He couldn't serve in the military. So they shipped him off to a military hospital, and he was a year in the military hospital. He just laid in the bed. That's all he could do. Can you imagine laying in the bed of a military hospital for a year? The doctors ran tests. They gave him medication, did everything they could possibly do, and nothing helped. And he just lay there day after day, day after day. He was a brand new Christian. Just brand new. I mean, he had an encounter with Jesus in his barracks. Just met Jesus in a very powerful way and gave his heart. Didn't know anything about the Bible. He had a Bible. He was actually a philosopher in Cambridge University before he was drafted into the military. And he thought, well, I'm going to be in the military for 4, 5, 6 years, and I need 2 or 3 books to take. He'd never read the Bible. He said, well, every philosopher probably needs to read the Bible. So he grabbed the Bible along with a couple other books and had never read it before. And so here he is laying on his bed, brand new Christian now, having this encounter with Jesus. And he said, you know, I'm going to search the Bible to see if the Bible has anything to say that will help me in my situation. So he began to read the Bible, and eventually he ran across a scripture in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22, that he came to call God's Medicine Bible. He actually wrote a little booklet called God's Medicine Bible. It's based on this scripture, Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. And this is the scripture. It says, my son, this includes daughters as well, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they, my words, are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. And that last phrase, health to one's whole body, just kind of stood out in his mind and really caught his attention. And he realized and began to just come to the conclusion that if he had health in all of his body, there would be absolutely no room for sickness or disease. That makes sense, right? That's logical. If you have health in all of your body, no room for sickness or disease. And Derek, as he studied that scripture, realized that in the margin of the Bible, when it came to the word health, do not let these words out of your sight, keep them in your heart, for they, my words, are life to those who find them, and health to all that are flesh. And many of your Bibles will say, if you look in the margin of the Bible, the word health means medicine. If you look it up in the Hebrew language, it actually means medicine. So what that's saying is that God's words are medicine to our body, medicine to our body. And Derek suddenly realized that the words of God, the sayings of God, are life, health, and medicine to his body. And so he made a decision that day. He had tried everything the doctors had possibly given him to try, and nothing worked. All the medical attention that was available for that day, all the medical technology could not help him. He made a decision that day that he was going to take God's word as his medicine. Now, after spending a year in the hospital, he noticed that there was a lot of patients around, and many times that they were given medication three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So he decided that he was going to take God's medicine three times a day. And so every day after breakfast, he would get the Word of God out and read and meditate on God's Word. And then lunchtime came. After lunch, he would get the Word of God. He would read, meditate on Scripture. And then after dinner, he would get the Word of God out, read it, meditate on it, and just begin to feed his soul. Now, again, he had been there for a year. Doctors could do nothing. After about 4 or 5 months, he said, after meditating on the Word of God three times a day, that skin condition absolutely disappeared. His body was completely well, and he never experienced it again. He spent the rest of his life traveling the world, preaching the gospel, writing books until he was 86 years old and went home to be with the Lord. God's medicine. Hallelujah. Medicine to your body. Isn't that amazing? And it's medicine with no side effects, by the way. You know, a lot of the medication that you take has side effects. And sometimes those side effects are worse than the illness. In fact, the side effects of some medication can actually kill you. And so I'm not saying go throw your medication away, but I'm just telling you, this medication you can take, I don't know, as many times as you want during the day, and you're never going to have any side effects as a result of it. Now, God continued to speak to Derek, and he said, when the doctor prescribes medication, the directions for taking that are on the bottle. How many take medication? There's a little label on the outside, right? And it tells you take three times a day or take with meals. The directions for taking that are on the bottle. And so God spoke to Derek. He said, the directions for taking my medication are Proverbs 4:20-22. Study that and understand what the directions are. So he began to study, and he realized that there was actually four directions for taking God's word as medication, as medicine or health to your body. Number one, give God's word your undivided attention. Number two, have a humble, teachable spirit. Number three, keep God's word in sight. And number four, let God's word penetrate your heart. I'm going to look at all four of those real quick. Number one, give God's word your undivided attention. That's what Proverbs 4 verse 20 says in NLT. My child, pay attention to what I say. How many times, parents, have you said that to your kids? Pay attention. I've got something I want to communicate with you. It's important. It might even save your life sometime. And so when I talk to you, I want you to pay attention. And that's what Scripture is talking. That's the Holy Spirit through this word is saying, pay attention to what I say. You know, we give a lot of things our attention, right? In this day and age. But how much attention do we give to God's word? When God speaks to us, and many times, I believe 80%, that's just a figure, but I believe 80% of what we ever need to know from God, he has already spoken to us in his word. And his words are so important that they deserve our undivided attention. Amen? I'm amazed at how divided people's attention are these days. Particularly, you know, I think about my teens when they were growing, kids when they were growing up, teenagers, walk into their bedroom, they're supposed to be doing homework, and the TV's on, and the radio's on, and they got their homework. I say, I thought you were supposed to be doing homework. I am doing homework. Well, you really can't give your full attention to anything if all that noise is going on, right? And our attention span seems to be growing weaker with each passing generation. According to one recent study, the average adult attention span is 8.25 minutes. In contrast, and they've done studies on this, the average attention span of a goldfish is 9 minutes. That's not a very good commentary on our attention span. Our attention span is less than a goldfish. And the younger you get, the worse it gets. They said, this study said that the Generation Z folks, that's our teenagers and younger, that their generation span, attention span, excuse me, is 1.3 minutes. I mean, that's all that they can hold on to focus on something. I think a lot of it has to do with the phone, scrolling through that, right? The study also said that multitasking is harmful to our attention span. When your attention is diverted from your current activity, it takes about 25 minutes to refocus again. 25 minutes to really get your mind focused back on what you originally were focused on. Listen, God and His words are so important and so life-giving and health-giving that they deserve our undivided attention. Amen? You still out there? You gone home? I actually believe that there is a spiritual battle for our focus and our attention. If the devil can't keep you from getting saved, he'll do his best to keep you distracted. He'll do his best to keep you from getting into the Word of God. He knows that the more attention you give to God's Word, the stronger you're going to get, the more powerful in God you're going to get, the more faith you're going to get, the more of a threat you're going to be to His kingdom. Amen? So he'll do everything that he can. Bobby and I were just praying together this week, and as we were praying, we started comparing notes, and we both realized that we had kind of been under the same attack, that for the last 2 or 3 weeks, during our personal prayer time, private prayer time, we call them quiet times, that our minds really have been bombarded with a lot of distracting thoughts. I'm not talking about sinful thoughts or anything like that. It was just, we're supposed to be focused on the Word of God, supposed to be in prayer and fellowshipping, but all these thoughts about what we needed to do, what was going on in the church, people's problems, all these things, just came, were bombarding our minds and just kind of trying to divert our attention. And I just believe that, you know, we're under attack in terms of our focus. How many think focus is important? Paying attention to God's Word is really a key to getting healing from the Word of God. In Luke 6:17, it says that the sick came to Jesus from the entire region to hear Him and be healed of their diseases. To hear and be healed. Would you say that with me? To hear and be healed. One more time. To hear and be healed. They came to hear and be healed. What did they hear? What was Jesus talking about? I believe that he was speaking words that encouraged their heart, words that lifted their faith to believe that Jesus had the ability to heal and also had the willingness to heal. To hear and be healed. It's important. What Jesus said, it's important what we hear, it's important how we hear. And they came to hear and be healed. Hearing led to healing. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So my question is, what's got your focus today? What's got your focus? I had a relative that died many years ago from cancer. She was about my age. I think she was in her 30s at the time when she did. She had a couple, three kids, I believe. And the last several months of her life, she spent watching movies with her family. Now, you know, I'm sure that was maybe a bonding time. It was maybe the only thing they knew to do. But how many know there's no healing power in secular movies? As far as I know, she didn't spend any time in, you know, meditating on healing scriptures. She didn't really spend any time listening to messages and sermons on healing. And so, you know, she passed away. It's important what we hear. Number two, receive God's word with a humble, teachable spirit. So Proverbs 4:20, the last part of the verse says, listen carefully to my words. The NIV says, turn your ear to my words. The New King James says, incline your ear to my sayings. The Hebrew thought behind this idea of inclining your ear or turning your ear really is listening with a humble and a teachable spirit. A humble and a teachable spirit. It's really having an open mind to truth that God wants to teach us. Now, when it comes to healing, so many people have preconceptions about what God's word says about healing. They've been to a church, they've been to a denomination that's taught them that God no longer heals, or maybe that if he does heal, it's sporadically, it's every once in a while based on, you know, some whim that he might have. And then when they come to the word of God and start reading so many of the scriptures that we've been laying out the last 6 weeks, that these preconceptions are blocking them receiving what God wants to say. They got their ideas. They got their opinions. They've got their church doctrine. And it's difficult for them to be open-minded to what God is saying through his word. Preconceptions. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That what he did in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what he did when he walked the shores of Galilee and healed the sick and healed the multitude and raised the dead and opened blind eyes, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, how many know he's doing those things today in the 21st century? But you got to be open-minded. You got to have a mind that's willing to receive what God's word says. Some people are just not willing to give up their preconceived ideas, their opinions, and their ideas. You know, their motto is, don't confuse me with the facts. Their mind is like concrete, all mixed up and permanently set. You ever heard that before? And Jesus teaches us how God's word can be fruitful in our hearts. In James 1, verse 21, it says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. And listen, humbly accept the word of God planted in you, which can save your soul. Humbly. Everybody say the word humbly. That means be open-minded. It means be willing to let go of your old ideas, your old opinions, and humbly accept the word of God planted in you that can save you. You know, that word saved in the Greek is a very powerful word. It's the word sozo, and it means saved, healed, and delivered. God's word can save you. God's word can heal you. And God's word can deliver you. But it only can do that when it's planted in your heart. And the only way that it's going to get planted in your heart is if you are willing to let go of the old preconceived ideas and humbly let God's word begin to speak into your heart. You know, the old King James uses the word engrafted instead of planted, engrafted. I love that. What a picture, you know, the picture of that. Letting God's word be engrafted into your soul and change the way you think. How many know sometimes we need to change the way we think? Some of the old thoughts, the old ideas, the old opinions, we need to let them go. Amen? And here's a third instruction, third direction out of Proverbs 4, is keep God's word in sight. The NLT says, don't lose sight of them. New King James says, do not let them depart from your eyes. The implication is that if you are not intentional about keeping God's word in sight, then it will depart. Amen? Yeah. It'll be like a piece of driftwood on the Columbia out here and just float away if you're not intentional about it. There's an old saying, out of sight, out of mind, right? And if you don't keep God's word in sight, it will not stay in your mind. I used to do a lot of water skiing. And after we're done water skiing, we come and dock the boat, and one person would run up and get the truck and trailer and bring it down. The other person would hold the boat and wait till the trailer got there. And if I was the one holding the boat, or anybody holding the boat, you had to keep your hand on the boat or keep your hand on the rope. Otherwise, the boat would do what? It just float away down the river. You had to keep a grip on it. And it's the same with God's word. You have got to keep a grip on it. Otherwise, it's just going to float away out of your mind, out of sight, where it has no power to bring healing or health or freedom or deliverance into your life. You know, when our kids were small, we took them to Disneyland. Now, if I did that today, I'd probably have to take out a home equity loan to accomplish that, because I hear it's so expensive. But anyway, it wasn't quite as expensive back then. We took them, they were only this big, took them to Disneyland, and man, there was people everywhere, just a multitude of people. How many have been to Disneyland? I mean, it's just packed. And there was so much to see. It was kind of exciting. And we were looking around, but there was one thing that Bobby and I never let out of our sight. It was our kids. We always kept them in sight. We didn't want to lose them. Later, I thought, when they were teenagers, I lost an opportunity back there. I'm just kidding. But it's got to be the same with God's word. We got to keeping it focused. Keep it in sight. You know, the Old Testament priests, they used to wear scriptures in a little leather box and strap it on their head. And the idea was that they were always keeping the word of God in the forefront of their mind. Now, I don't see any of you wearing a leather box with scripture, and probably nobody plans on it. But the idea is a good one. The motive is a good one. Keep God's word in the forefront of your mind. Amen? And here's the fourth direction. Keep God's word in the center of your heart. Proverbs 4:21 says, let them penetrate, God's word penetrate, deep into your heart. The Amplified says, keep them in the center of your heart. The key to receiving healing from God's word is to keep those words in the center of your heart. The word of God, there's power in the word of God that's inherent in this word to bring healing to your physical body and your soul, but only when you get in your heart and you keep it there. I know this sounds like a little bit of work. Most people want to just come up and have somebody lay hands on them, and 3 seconds later they walk out healed. Sometimes we got to apply the word of God. Sometimes we got to do something. Sometimes there's some activity, some energy that's required. You know, we need to get in the word of God. We need to find out what God's word says about healing and put those words in our heart and keep them in the center of your heart. You know, you got medicine bottles at home in the shelf, maybe. But how many know that medicine is not going to do you any good if you keep it in the bottle and keep it on the shelf? You got to open it up and put it on the inside. And it's the same with God's word. You got to open it up and get it on the inside if it's going to do any good at all. You know, just thinking about our thought life and keeping God's word in our thoughts and our heart. Somebody said that we've got 40 to 60,000 thoughts a day. I have no idea who counted all those thoughts, but that's what they say. We've got 40 to 60,000 thoughts a day. And according to the National Science Foundation, 80% of those thoughts are negative. 90% of those negative thoughts are repeated every day. And the medical community has begun to understand what the Bible taught us thousands of years ago, that there's a connection between the mind and the physical body, the mind and our health, the emotions and our well-being in our physical body. According to the American Medical Association, 90% of illness is caused by negative thoughts and unresolved emotional conflict. 90%. You go up to the hospital, 9 out of 10 are there because of negative thinking over the years, unresolved emotional conflict, bitterness, anger, resentment, rejection, all that stuff that they've never dealt with. They buried, and now it's coming out in their physical body. It's coming out in diabetes. It's coming out in arthritis. It's coming out in heart disease. I'm not making this up. This is the American Medical Association that is finally open their eyes and recognize that there is connection between your spiritual life, your thought life and what's going on in your physical body. And it's important that we do what the scripture says, and that's take every thought captive and learn how to think God's thoughts. How many know we need to think like God thinks? Amen? Here's an important truth. You can't have a positive life with a negative mind. You can't have a healthy body with a negative mind either. Many people are sick in their body because they're sick in their mind. And the only thing that's going to heal our mind is the Word of God. This is truth. And everything that is contrary to this is a lie. And the truth will set us free. The truth will heal you. The truth will prosper you. A prosperous, healthy body begins with a prosperous mind. 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers." How are you going to prosper in your body? How are you going to prosper in your finances? Scripture says it begins with prosperity in your soul. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. That's where it begins. A lot of people are trying to work from the outside in. Doctor, give me medicine to fix me. When the real cure is getting down the root and working from the inside out and getting a prosperous soul that begins to flow out in your physical body and giving you a prosperous physical body. Amen? Yes. You still out there? You gone home? Amen. You're awfully quiet today. And then Romans 12:2, again, a scripture that has to do with our thoughts, says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by putting a fish emblem on the back of your car." Is that how he does it? How does he change you? "But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." You can change your life by changing the way you think. You can even change the condition of your physical body by changing the way you think, according to Scripture. God's power, God's word has the power to heal your body, heal your mind, but we got to get it on the inside. There's three, and I'm going to finish in just a couple minutes, but there's three biblical ways to get the Word of God on the inside of you and keep them in the center of your heart. One is by meditating on the Word of God. Another is by praying the Word of God. And a third is by rehearsing the Word of God. Meditating on God's Word, praying God's Word, and rehearsing God's Word. You know, I've memorized a lot of Scripture. People tell me all the time, "Man, you've memorized a lot of Scripture." And I've spent very little time sitting down to actually memorize Scripture. Well, what I've done over the years is I've prayed the Bible. I've prayed the Scripture. And as I pray the Scripture, it gets on the inside. I rehearse the Scripture. And as I rehearse the Scripture, it gets on the inside. And when it gets on the inside, it starts coming out. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. What's in the heart comes out your mouth. And so as I've got the Word of God in my heart, it starts coming out. Hallelujah. Meditate, pray, rehearse God's word. Psalms 1 talks about the benefit of meditating God's word. He said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful." And you might be thinking, "Well, I don't spend a whole lot of time around sinners." Well, how much time do you spend in front of the TV? I almost called it another name that might not be appropriate here, but how much time do you spend in front of the old secular TV? Would that qualify as far as sitting in the seat of the scornful? I think it might. Am I stepping on any toes right now? Goes on to say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Here's a companion verse, Joshua 1:8. Says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." There it is, rehearsing the word of God. "But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Hallelujah. Meditating, praying, rehearsing God's word. That's how we get it in our heart where it brings healing to our body. Well, Pastor, you know, I really don't have time to meditate on God's word. How many ever wake up in the middle of the night? 2, 3, 4 o'clock? I do. I do sometimes. What do you do? How do you spend that time? What do you think about? Do you grab your phone and start scrolling? I'm telling you, here's a wonderful thing that you can do. Here's a wonderful way to spend that time. If you wake in the middle of the night, retrieve one of the scriptures that you place in your heart and just begin to meditate. Begin to think about that. Begin to ponder it. Begin to reflect on that. Meditation simply means chewing the cud like a cow does. He chews some grass, swallows it, brings it back up, chews it again, gets some more nutrients, swallows it, brings it back up, chews again, gets some more nutrients. And that's what we need to do with the Word of God. You might know that verse, but the more you think about it, the more you ponder it, reflect on it, the more of that life and that health and that strength is getting into your soul and into your heart. It'll make you strong. It'll make you victorious. It'll make you a man and a woman of God. Hallelujah. You can't survive without the Word of God. You can't do it. You will be a 90-pound anemic weakling in the spirit if you never open the Word of God. And Satan will have you for lunch. The enemy goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Who's going to devour? He's going to devour the weak ones. He's going to devour the spiritually sick ones. He's going to devour the spiritually anemic ones who never find the time. I just don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to pray. I'm too busy. I got a job. I got a business. I got kids. I got a family. I got hobbies. Well, if you want to live a defeated Christian life, go for it. As for me, I want to walk in victory. As for me, I want to walk as an overcomer. I want to live as a more than a conqueror. And that's exactly the way that God has called us to live. You don't have to get beat up by the enemy every single day of your life. You know, the enemy is more scared of you than you would ever be scared of him. At least if you know who you are in Christ. You know, the Bible says the Word of God is a sword that we can drive the enemy right out of our life. But too many Christians are walking around with rusty swords. Or maybe your swords are still in your scabbards. Or you're not even wearing your sword. You know what David said about this? Psalms 119, verse 148. He said, "My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises." My eyes stay open through the watches of the night. David purposely stayed awake even through the watches of the night. He was a busy man. He was king of Israel, a lot going on. And maybe he didn't have a whole lot of time during the day. So he would say, at least at night, nobody's going to bother me. I don't have any pressing business. And I'm going to stay awake and meditate on the Word of God. That's the guy that wrote Psalms 1. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. If night is not your thing, maybe you can write out a verse on a card, put it in your pocket or on your phone, and at your breaks, your lunchtime, pull that out. Yeah. You know, I just read a recent study survey that said the average American adult looks at their iPhone, their phone, 144 times a day. 144 times a day. Don't tell me you don't have time to meditate on the Word of God. You're just choosing to meditate on social media or whatever else you're meditating on. The problem is not that you don't have time. The problem is you don't have the motivation. The problem is you don't understand the benefits of meditating on God's word. And so your mind will just trip to whatever else, you know, that's going on in the world. And I'm guaranteeing you, it's not going to bring life. It's not going to bring health to your mind. It's not going to bring health to your body. It's not going to make you a strong believer. Now, I'm not saying don't watch TV. I'm not saying don't look at social media. But what I am saying is, do you have time for God's word? Do you have time for undivided attention? I believe that God's word is so important. Yes. And that spending time with him and his presence is so important that we need to have time in our day to give him and his word our undivided attention. Man, I'm all for praying throughout the day. Pray when you work. Pray when you drive. Pray when you're taking a shower. Pray all day long. But there are times, brothers and sisters, that God deserves your and my undivided attention. There's times that we need to put everything else on hold. We need to put everything else out of our mind. And we need to open up the Word of God. And just like you would be dipping a tea bag in the water again and again, and every time you do that, that water is absorbing more of that tea. We are absorbing the Word of God into our heart, and it's changing the way we think. The Scripture says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth's not going to set you free. Did you know that? The truth is not going to set you free. This Bible is full of the truth. It will not set you free. So I got you thinking, didn't I? What's going to set you free is the truth that you know. Because that's what Jesus said. You will know the truth. And the truth you know will set you free. It's not the truth your wife knows. It's not the truth even the pastor knows. It's the truth that you know. Now, you can hear a sermon like this, and I hope it encourages you, but really, 99% of what I say, you're going to forget 20 minutes from now. I hate to think that, because I spend a lot of time preparing these messages. But I just know. I know how the human mind works. But the truth that's going to stick is when you get home and you open up the Word of God for yourself, and you begin to memorize these key scriptures, and you begin to meditate, and you begin to pray those, begin to pray them out, and begin to rehearse them out. You're driving to work, and you're just quoting the scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's the word of God that's going to drive the enemy out of your life and strengthen you so you can withstand any attack of the enemy. Hallelujah. Amen? And that's why I'm preaching this today, because I want you to be strong in the Lord. That's what the scripture said. Paul wrote in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord. He didn't say be a 90-pound weakling. Live a defeated life. Oh my. You know, life is so hard. There's one problem after another. I can never get ahead. No! That's the life of a person who never prays. That's the life of a person who never gets in the Word of God. There's always something more important. No, I want you to be victorious. I want you to be overcomers. And that's going to require you getting into the Word of God. Amen. Let's stand this morning. It took me a while to get there. It was hard plowing at first. I don't know what was going on. But I think the Holy Spirit was able to communicate what he wanted to say this morning. What's God saying to you this morning? Take a moment. What's God saying to you? What's God saying to you as a result of this message? Is there any change that needs to happen? Any adjustments? Maybe you need to go to bed a little bit earlier so you can get up a little bit earlier and spend that 15, 20, 30 minutes with the Lord. I'm telling you, it's life-giving. It's life-giving. I could not function without spending time in God's presence and his word every day. I couldn't function. you might as well dig a post hole and stick me in head first and cover it up. If it wasn't for God and His Word and His presence, because I couldn't do it. Hallelujah. Okay. Maybe we'll do that next week. Yeah. Well, let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that there's healing in your word. You sent your word and healed. Father, we just want to pause just for a moment and say, Lord, forgive us for giving everything else our attention but you and your word. Forgive us. Lord, we repent. And in repenting, Father, we know that there has to be change. No change, no repentance. Lord, I pray you'd speak to each one. Whatever adjustment needs to happen in our lives, we're willing to do that. I pray that you give us a new, fresh passion for your word. That we would not do it out of duty, but we would read your word, meditate on it out of delight, just like the psalmist. His delight is in the word of the Lord, and on his word he meditates day and night. Give us that passion. Give us that passion. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have